let's remember that the other two crosses also have significance, because the cross on the right and the cross on the left represent, as it were, two humanities, two approaches to Christ. They represent two ways of dying. And ultimately, they represent two different eternities. And the question might be, which of those two crosses, the one on the right or the one on the left, best represents you? Best represents where you're at? Let's think about these other two crosses for a moment. Scripture tells us that they were both criminals, or another gospel writer says they were robbers. So put that together and you get some sense of the type of men these were. They were likely Jewish men living within Jerusalem because they were being crucified like a Jew. This was the common form of punishment for a Jew, was to crucify them. They lived in the world of Pharisees and their external righteousness, and so they were clearly men who lived outside the law, living on the fringes of society, perhaps lapsed covenant children. They had been in jail, probably, and now, in the providence of God, found themselves being crucified on the same day that Jesus was being crucified. But both Matthew and Luke tell us that both criminals were hurling insults at Jesus, at least at the beginning. Both of them were joining in the insults and the mockery that was going on there at the cross, at Calvary. If we put together from what the various gospel accounts tell us, the mockery went something like this. If you're who you say you are, if you're the Christ, the Messiah, why don't you come down from the cross? Why don't you save yourself? You were able to, and this is all very much in mocking sarcasm, you were able to save others, well, why don't you save yourself? You who said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, why don't you come down from the cross? Why don't you show us some power? And of course, the tone is all very much, but it's all smoke and mirrors, isn't it? You really aren't who you said you were. In the end, reality caught up with you, and you're just another Jew dying on a cross outside Jerusalem today. So they were both joined in this kind of mocking and insult, at least initially. They are both naked, for that's how Romans crucified people, in the nude. Naked, ashamed. The image now of a pathetic, dying, gory men just hours from their death. They are pictures, both of them, are they not, of a broken, destroyed humanity. After all, these were people who were made in the image of God. And now, look at the mess. Criminals, naked, ashamed, bleeding, dying. They're a picture of all of us on some level. For we are all, are we not, under a death sentence? We all live with this thing called our own mortality, and the awareness that an execution awaits us all, and there's nothing you can do to stop that. Our first parents were ashamed and naked in the garden when they hid from God. And so we understand these two all too well, do we not? But there's a difference. And now here's where they're different. Robber number one, and of course we don't know their names, mocks all the way to his death. Luke has him saying these words, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us too." In other words, if you're the Christ, make the world right now. Stop my suffering right now. Give relief. Fix the world right now. Give me my best life now. Now. And of course, a cynicism that says you're not really who you said you were, are you? In the end, it's all smoke and mirrors. In the end, life is cruel. There is no hope. And so this guy goes down with scorn and sarcasm, and he dies. And friends, on any given day, we can choose to be that man. We can choose to approach life in that way. Look at it as he did. Look at Christ the way he did. Say, this religion stuff, this kingdom of God, this Messiah business is smoke and mirrors, and in the end we all die. Yeah, you can go there. That's an option for you. That's one way to die. It was certainly his way. But let's look at robber number two. He, as we mentioned already, started out very much like robber number one. He was mocking, jesting. But there was a change while he was dying. In the last hours of his death, a change. And of course, we know ultimately only God can change a heart. And that's what God does. God changes his heart. And if we look at Luke's narrative as he describes this, the change appears to have occurred right after Jesus said these words from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." According to Luke, Jesus says that, and then just a few moments, we see this dialogue now kicking in between these three crosses, these three men on crosses. So robber number one opens up his mouth with his mockery. "If you're the Christ, save yourself and us too." And then robber number two, who has just heard these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I think he was touched deeply by them. Opens his mouth with these words, "Don't," talking to the other robber, "don't you fear God? We deserve what has happened to us. But this man has done nothing." And then he turns to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And then, of course, Jesus' response to him, "Behold, today you will be with me in paradise." I want you just to appreciate here the simple faith of this man, because he is a prototype of all Christians. He's a broken man, a broken, bleeding, dying man with nothing to bring, nothing of his goodness to plead for him. Catch the simple faith of this guy next to me is the key to forgiveness from the Father. And this guy next to me is access to the kingdom. And in his simple prayer to Christ, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom," he is with great simplicity of faith turning to Christ and putting his hope and his soul in his hands. I mean, what a reformed guy. You could see the solas of the Reformation here, right? Sola fide. It's faith alone. He's not appealing to anything he's done. He's not appealing to his good works. He is a broken, bleeding, dying man putting his trust in someone outside of him, outside of his goodness, Outside of anything he's done, sola fide, he puts his hope in Christ. Solus Christus. Who's he trusting in? Christ alone, not trusting anybody else. Sola gratia. Understand, it's all by grace, nothing he's done. And I could even read in here a sola scriptura, because what he ends up trusting in is Jesus' words when Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And he rests himself in those words. And who gets the glory? Oh, soli Deo Gloria. Do you see the purity of that faith? He is the prototype of all Christians. There's nothing like trusting in his baptism at this point. Well, probably wasn't baptized, right? There's no sacramental trust here. There's no prayers to the saints here. He doesn't appeal to Mary, even though Mary would, I would assume, right there at the foot of the cross, we hear nothing like, you know, "Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners in the hour of our need." Who is he appealing to but Christ alone? A broken, ruined, bleeding, dying man, trusting in Christ as his Savior. That is the heart of what Christians believe. So friends, three crosses. Of course, you know who's on the center cross. But there's one on the left and one on the right, and they represent two humanities, two ways to think about Christ, two approaches to God, two eternities. They represent sheep and goats. Remember when Jesus said at the end, sheep and goats, on his left and on his right. The sheep are the inheritors of eternal life, and the goats perish. Two eternities represented in these two men. Revelation chapter 4:14 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." And there we are hearing that there are two ways of dying. There is a way of dying that is in the Lord. And we are told by the angel there, blessed are those who die in the Lord. There is such a thing as a blessed death. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. And by implication, there is a way of dying that's not in the Lord, that does not receive this blessing. And so, dear friends, we have all been given a death sentence. We are dying. Every one of us here. One on the right, one on the left. One who mocks and ridicules and thinks this is nothing but smoke and mirrors. But another one who, out of his brokenness, out of his need, and out of fear of God, out of reverence for God, turns with great humility, not trusting in anything he's done, but looking to this man on a cross next to him. What a peculiar Messiah. A man on a cross. But that's where he puts his hope. Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Two men, two humanities, two eternities, one a sheep, one a goat. Which one best represents you tonight? Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. Let's pray together.